to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, your local community radio station.
The Air News is sponsored by Seacom Australia. Are you in need of a generator for prime power or backup power for your home or business? Seacom Australia can help. Seacom Australia is currently supplying power to the major mobile network providers, emergency services and paging networks, land and water authorities, all TV stations at Mount Victoria in Warburton, and Yarra Valley FM. Seacom Australia can provide generators from 5 kVA to 250 kVA. For higher sales and service, call now on 5962 4546.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Hello, I'm Sean Bindley. The Prime Minister says he's not going to be distracted by a text exchange describing him as a horrible person and fraud. Scott Morrison was surprised at the National Press Club yesterday when a leaked text message was read to him. It was reportedly between former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian and an anonymous Cabinet Minister. Whether that person was state or federal is not known. The exchange described Mr Morrison as horrible, a fraud and a complete psycho. The PM says he's not bothered by it.
I mean, in this job, you take the brickbats and you take the bouquets.
Some Liberals are pointing the finger at New South Wales Treasurer Matt Keane for the damaging leak, but he denies it.
It was not me.
Ms Berejiklian has released a statement saying she has no recollection of the text exchange. Around 1,800 homes remain without power after wild storms lashed Queensland's southeast yesterday. It hit late yesterday afternoon, bringing destructive winds to Logan and even a tornado. Innergex crews have been working across the night, with more than 27,000 customers affected at the peak of it. With the state also enduring a heatwave, Innergex spokesperson Emma Olivieri says it certainly would have been hot for those without power.
We know it's been a long night for customers, a hot night, a sticky night without air conditioning, but we can reassure them that we have fresh crews out this morning and they'll be tackling the worst of the damage to get the power back on to those remaining customers.
Today, thankfully, is expected to be the last of the heatwave. Brisbane's expected to hit 34, however, the humidity will make it feel much warmer. South Australia Retail Union is calling on the government to address abusive customer behaviour in the wake of the pandemic. A new survey shows 60% of workers have experienced a rise in shopper abuse since Christmas. The union's Josh Peake says employees are fed up with how they're being treated.
Really widespread of the sort of thing our members have had to put up with. We had a member recently report to us at a hardware store that there was a member of the public brandishing a saw they pulled off the shelf and threatening to cut people because they were asked to put a mask on. These aren't rules that retail workers have come up with themselves.
An earthquake has rocked residents in Australia's north. The magnitude 6 quake was centred in the Banda Sea, northeast of East Timor, and was felt in Darwin. Residents in the top end reported the quake shaking furniture and knocking items off shelves. Meanwhile, an international study is warning a global rise in temperatures of 1.5 degrees will be catastrophic for almost all coral reefs. Australian researchers, working with an international team, have found only 0.2% of reefs would avoid frequent heat stress under the scenario. Farmers who lost livestock and machinery and grass and scrub fires in Western Victoria last month have not been able to access bushfire disaster relief. The fast-moving fires destroyed more than 7,000 hectares of farmland. Farmer Mary Frost and her husband Ken lost livestock and equipment, but she says they're some of the lucky ones.
We lost about 600 sheep, 4 or 5 cows and 3 bulls. A lot of them were hit a lot harder than us because, you know, several of them lost most or nearly all their sheep, which means that they're not going to have an income for 12 months. You know, as far as the state government goes, I don't think they know we even exist out here.
This is Air News. The Socceroos have copped a massive blow to their hopes of automatic qualification for next year's World Cup after being held to a 2-2 draw in Oman. The result leaves them in third place with 2 games left to play, 3 points behind Japan, who they'll play next on the 24th of March in Sydney. Meanwhile, 1 game in the A-League tonight with the Western Sydney Wanderers hosting the Perth Glory. Cricket Australia's board meeting on Friday will reportedly decide the fate of national coach Justin Langer. News Corp is reporting a list of candidates to replace him has already been drawn up should the board decide not to extend his contract. Cricket writer Malcolm Conn says Langer won't walk away from his job without a fight.
Justin fought for 8 years to establish himself as a test batsman. And I covered his entire career. That determination that Justin showed as a player is now showing as a coach, and he's desperately hanging on.
Legendary NFL quarterback Tom Brady has officially announced his retirement from the sport after a career which included a staggering 7 Super Bowl titles. In basketball news, Perth Wildcats centre Matt Hodgson has been sent straight to the NBL tribunal after two striking incidents against the Sydney Kings. The Wildcats released a statement saying Hodgson's actions were not in line with the club's core values. And Australia's greatest ever female basketballer, Lauren Jackson, has announced her comeback, signing with the NBL One East team, Albury Wodonga Bandits. The 40-year-old says it's a dream come true for her home team. Meantime, there will be seven games in the NBA today. The pick of them, the Brooklyn Nets, taking on the Phoenix Suns. Australian Independent Radio News.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I don't care what the weatherman says when the weatherman says it's raining. You'll never hear me complaining. I'm certain of sunshine.
The weather forecast for today and the coming week, a top today of 19 and cloudy. Down a fairly cool night tonight with 10 degrees, up tomorrow to 21 and cloudy. Friday starts to warm up again, 26 and sunny. Saturday 28.
Listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
And welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you. Every Wednesday between 12 and 2 I'll be here. And of course next Wednesday, apart from the 2 hours of interviews, will be our first choice tunes for the year. But anyway, we're here today. We've got a really extra special guest. We are going to be talking a bit about vaccinations, but the person that I've got today is well qualified to be talking about the things that we're going to be talking about. It's my pleasure to have with me Dr. Patil from Eastern Health. Welcome, Doctor.
Hello, Alan. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on your station.
Doctor, I know we're going to talk about vaccinations and we really want to get on to that. But I was at my own doctor's leading up to Christmas for that dreaded prostate check, and he was saying there that some people just aren't turning up. And also I have a skin cancer check once a year, and they're sending out things saying people aren't going. A, first of all, what's your take on that? And B, what do you have any idea why you think these people are just not turning up to these tests?
Yes, Alan, that's a really good question. Now, as you can see, due to COVID outbreak in the last 2 years, people are not really coming to their basically screening health or preventative health, particularly what we call bowel cancer screening, breast cancer screening, cervical screening, and as well as their skin checks. It's purely because people are quite afraid, or they think they're likely to get COVID infection. That's another one point. As well as there are, due to the COVID outbreaks, even in the medical centers, there's a significant shortage of the appointment because we're having the vaccinations as well. There are staffs also quite sick now and then. So there's a significant impact on the health system, plus the COVID infection, the fear of catching the infection in the medical system, medical center, or your general practice itself, causing the delays in their preventative health. And in my opinion, I'll request your all listeners, those who are holding on to their preventative health, particularly those cancer, which is recommended by the Cancer Council, which include breast cancer screening, colon cancer screening, and the cervical cancer screening, please head to your GP and get on to it. As well as if you ever had a prostate cancer in the past, and if you're due to get the prostate check done, please go and see your doctors.
Can I ask the question, and I'll throw it out to you? If a person puts off say they should have been screened for breast cancer and they put off for 2 years, or prostate or whatever it might be, the chances of the cancer being a lot worse than the chances of catching COVID, would far outweigh the risk that you might get COVID, wouldn't it?
We all doctors and all general practices, we are taking extra precautions to prevent the spread of COVID infection in the general practice. So let's say if you're not going and you have a cancer, the outcome is likely to be worse for living, because we are already seeing there's an increasing number of the patients who are coming quite late for their issues, particularly the cancer, we are already started to see. And just recently, Peter McCullum released a document, and they're saying, which is one of the Cancer Institute in Victoria, they're saying they have seen 30% less number of referral than their average annual referral. So that's a significant drop in the number.
That's a big drop, isn't it?
It's a significant drop, yes.
So obviously down the track, there could be a correlating a 30% jump in cancers too, or not so much in actually getting the cancer, but in 30% jump in them being a lot worse than what they would have been.
Correct. If you delay that, those screening process, and if you catch, get the cancer, basically the outcome may be quite worse because this cancer might have spread to the different organ and will be quite difficult to treat in those scenarios. So, yeah.
So with all, I guess we're talking mainly cancers because same with melanoma, prostate, breast cancer. You'd know this better than I would, but the quicker you get it, it could be localised, couldn't you? And they can do something about it, whereas if it's got out into the bones and
correct. That... Correct. If it is spread to the, what we call metastasis, you reach to that stage, then it's very difficult to check that, and that's why it's important to catch it early and have the treatment effectively. Majority of the cancer can be treated effectively now if we catch them early. So you're right, absolutely.
And we're talking now 2 years, aren't we? It's not as though this happened 3 months ago or 6 months ago. We're now talking 2 years. So you wouldn't want to see people putting it off for a third year, would you?
Exactly. We are already 2 years, and we're likely to see this happening many years to come, unfortunately. So we just have to live with this virus and start, having our normal life and normal, basically, preventative health as well. And basically, we should go back to the normalized things, yes.
Look, I've got to take a break, but look, I will make the offer. We are going to be talking about vaccinations. We can't do talk back, so we're not going to put the doctor on the spot. But if you've got any questions you want me to put to them, Greg's out in the office. Give us a ring on 59-615-991. 59-615-991. I'll put them to the doctor and we'll get some answers.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And the show is Community Connections. We're back for the start of the new year and hopefully I'll be here right through the year. But we're talking all sorts of things health-wise today, well, particularly about vaccinations and deferred health. And I have with me Dr. Patil from Eastern Health. Doctor, they've now, they haven't mandated, but vaccinations are now available for 5 to 11-year-olds. A, why is it important to get it? And B, are the young people, if they don't have it, how bad's their COVID going to be? And I guess the third thing, what do you say to the parent who says, well, I'm really worried they're too young to vaccinate?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Alan. So currently in Australia, we have only one vaccine is approved, which is the Pfizer pediatric vaccine approved from year 5, children age 5 to 11. And some of the benefit of this having COVID, this vaccine in the children is to prevent mainly the COVID infection, of course, then hospitalization and death due to the COVID infection. As we know, it's quite rare. However, it can have some severe complications, like what we call is one of the complications is called pediatric inflammatory multisystem syndrome.
Lord, what's that mean?
It's one of the quite common, not common, it's one of the rare conditions where if you get a COVID and if you have that complication, it can be quite serious complications, and it can be simply prevented by these two jabs. And that's why it's important to have this COVID vaccine for the children. And it's not only have this direct benefit, but vaccinating children age 5 to 11 years also expected to have indirect benefit, including reducing the likelihood of school closure as a part of public health measure. Also, it will reduce disturbance to extracurricular and social activities, as well as parents needing to be absent from the work and isolation of the children and their family by having this vaccination. And as per the TAGI, the vaccine is quite safe. Their side effects could not be quite mild and transient.
And the other thing too, I mean, kids love to be around the grandparents, don't they?
Exactly. That's a very good point as well, that you, by having this vaccination, you're just not only going to protect yourself, but it's also to yourself, your family, your community, and your loved ones. Yes.
Well, and particularly grandparents, like, and some of us are up in that age group, probably not as easy to fight it off as what their mum and dad is at, you know, 40s or something, is it?
Correct. And in the children particularly, the infection can be sometimes asymptomatic. And if they're with their grandparents, however, and they catch from, you know, from their grandkids, can be lead to the serious complications for the people who are at high risk in that age group bracket.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
We're here with Community Connections. Doctor, I know in a minute you're going to talk about appointments and where they're available and when they are, but we have had a question.
Yes.
And we'd like your views on this. All right, this person just had their third booster, their third shot.
Yeah.
As a lot of us have. What's going to happen next? Because parts of the government are saying, well, you might need a fourth one. I mean, this person thought that they had to have one and two, and then every 12 months they'd have a booster. Now, all of a sudden, it went from 12 months to 3 months, or I think it was 6 months, and then came down to 3 months. And now what they're saying is, well, how often are these boosters going to come? Because they don't want to be getting one every 3 months.
Yes, it's not going to be every 3 months, Alan. But the reason for this booster dose is that, as we know, as the time progressing, the immunity or the immune response from this vaccine is decreasing. Yep. And the current changing situations with Omicron and previously with the Delta variant, to protect you against those quite transmissible variant, we will need a booster. So again, in the future, it will depend on the variant as well, what's happening with the outbreak. And as the research comes by, we are in almost year two now, where we'll have more data available about the effectiveness of vaccine. But in the future, as just one of the example where we're looking at this stage is Israel, where they started their fourth dose because they noticed that even after the booster, the immunity is going down. However, currently in Australia, it's only the three doses recommended. Fourth dose is recommended for people who are significantly immunocompromised. So at this stage, three doses, but we are heading into the winter in the next 3 to 4 months. So there could be the possibility we might need a fourth dose, and then, not recommended at this stage.
Then would you be thinking that from then on it would just be like a flu shot every year?
There could be the possibility that it could be just a once-off yearly dose, like a flu vaccination. Yes, you're absolutely right. Till this virus beacon by its own. Yeah.
Now we've had another question. A person has just had COVID. They've got their test, and now they're free. Yeah. Do they need their booster straight away, or seeing they've got a build-up of immunity because they've just had COVID, how long do they wait till they go and get their booster?
So the current recommendation is they can officially wait up to 4 months. It was a 6 month, but literally on the 27th of January, they have reduced from the 6 months to the 4 months. So you can wait up to 4 months to have your booster. However, in the current Omicron outbreak, the recommendation is to protect not only yourself, your community. It's recommended to have, if you are completely well, you become well, that means you're symptom free after your COVID, you can have your booster dose straight away.
Well, straight away, you don't have to wait at all.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the other thing is, we were talking about these the vaccinations for the 5 to 11 year olds. You're going to tell us where they're available and give us some phone numbers for people to go away and book, please.
Correct. So currently the vaccination for children 5 to 11 is available from the general practices, participating general practices, community pharmacies, and state-run hubs as well. And you can book that from the Vaccine Clinic Finder. There's a website, if you Google it, called Vaccine Clinic Finder. And
Vaccine Clinic Finder.
Correct.
Yep.
Then there's a Victorian coronavirus hotline number, which is 1-800-675-398.
What was that again?
1-800-675-398.
Yep. 398. Yep. And so
that's coronavirus hotline number. People can ring them and book their COVID vaccination for children as well as the booster, as well as they have any question they can ask on this number, particularly in regards to COVID vaccine.
COVID-19 vaccination boosters have now been approved for everyone 18 years and older. A booster dose increases your protection against becoming very sick or dying from COVID-19. Boosters are available through your GP, pharmacist, or other healthcare professional. Help keep yourself, loved ones, and your community protected. Book your booster at australia.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
I'm speaking to Dr. Patil from the Eastern Health, and we're talking about vaccinations. We've been talking about young people and boosters. Doctor, what are you going to say to the person, because we've just had this said to us, well, I've had my first shot, I had my second shot, then I got COVID. So now as far as I'm concerned, that's the end. I don't need any more vaccinations.
Yes, Alan, there are quite a few people like that, particularly due to the current Omicron variant outbreak. And as the research suggests that even though you had two doses, as the time passes, your immune response or the antibody level which fights against the infection is diminishing. So if you had a COVID infection after dose two, yes, you will be protected from your natural own immunity. However, that immune response is also goes down as the time passes. And there is a possibility of likelihood of new variant will come. That's where you need to boost up your antibody levels to protect you from hospitalization and serious complications like even prolonged COVID, and protect your loved one and the community and yourself, of course. So that's why I'll strongly recommend that even someone who had two doses and had COVID infection, you can wait officially up to 4 months. But if you're symptom-free after the COVID infection, you should talk to your GP and get your COVID vaccine straight away.
Oh, that's fair enough too. Doctor, I've just got to take a break. I just had another thought that, and this is probably an unfair question to throw at you without pre-warning you. Out of the people that are dying in the hospitals, is it true that, around 70 to 80% of those are unvaxxed people?
So people who, that's a really good question, Alan. I'm glad you asked this question because that's not even 70 to 80. So 90% of the people who are in ICU and dying due to COVID vaccine, they are unvaccinated, unfortunately. Can you imagine out of, let's say, if we have 100 patients in whole Victoria in ICU, out of those 100, 90 patients haven't had their COVID vaccine. So that's a quite significant number.
It's a big number.
It's a quite big number. And I really, also like to really congratulate 93.4% of the people in the whole Australia who they done their job and got their vaccine. So we got only that 7%. Now, I think we'll be one of the best country in the world where we have such a high vaccination rate. So it's proved again and again that people who are not vaccinated are quite significant high risk of getting this serious complication.
And not even dying. I mean, some of them are just doing horrible times in ICU, aren't they?
Exactly. So even you come out of the ICU, that's great news that you came out of ICU, but sometimes you're likely to have what we call prolonged COVID or some of the complication just being in ICU because just the weakness of your muscle. If you lie down on the bed in ICU for 4 weeks, you're going to be likely to be quite weak in your whole body, your muscles going to be quite weak. And so, in short, you will need long, prolonged rehabilitation to go back to your normal activity.
So what do you say to the person, too? I don't want to put you on the spot, but we need to cover these because these are some of the things that we've been asked about. Yeah. What about the person who says, oh, well, I've had my first shot now, doesn't matter, I'm not going to get COVID and I'm young and I'm fit. One shot's not going to do anything.
Correct. Unfortunately, one shot is not going to be enough to protect you, because as we know, even the immune response is waning or falling down after the two shots. So definitely one shot is not going to, that's not the complete vaccination protocol. So if someone just had a one shot and they're waiting or thinking about that they're not going to get COVID, I'll request those listeners, please head to your second shot and in the future the booster shot.
All right. Now, I'm not anti-vax. I'm not setting you up for an anti-vax. As you know, I've had my two shots and I'll have my third shot as soon as I can get around it, because I've been away on holidays. What do you say to the person who says, I'm just not going to bother with this. I'm just going to take my risk. I mean, the risks are pretty high. Like, we're not talking about getting a flu here that you know, you'll feel crook for 2 or 3 days and away you go. I mean, If you don't have any protection at all, I mean, the risks are pretty high, aren't they?
Exactly. So, Alan, again, after the two doses, if the time duration is more than like 3 months or good 6 months, unfortunately, you don't have much protection at that point. So that's why it's important to have the booster to up the level of your antibodies in your blood to protect you from that infection. As we know, again, your immune response is going down as the 4 months and beyond. So previously, ATAGI recommended 6 months, but then they revised that again because they noticed that if we wait for 6 months, that's going to be likely to be too late. That's why they brought that to the 4 months, not 3 months. So it's very important that you get your boosters so that you don't get further complications or hospitalisation due to COVID.
As we're coming into winter, and this again might be unfair, but I mean, we've got last year to look at, I guess. What's the chances of it flaring up worse? Is this a winter disease, or is it an all-year disease, or what?
So, as we've seen overseas in the United States and UK, they got quite significant outbreak during the winter as well. So it will be fair to say that they could be further. We already have significant outbreak at this point of time, but it will probably we'll have another outbreak if there's another variant, unfortunately. So that's why it's important to have those vaccinations.
All right. I've just got to take another quick break. I should just mention that we are going to play a song by John Farnham. And the reason I'm going to play a song from John Farnham is that you'd have probably all read in the papers this morning that Glenn Wheatley, who was a giant man, and he was John Farnham's manager, and he was part of LPD Limited and all sorts of things, passed away. And to be honest, they're saying that he passed away as a result of COVID.
Yeah, so there you go.
Doctor, I know there's a couple of things we want to cover before you go. The first one is we just played a promotion which you would have heard for talking about diabetes and that. People with those sorts of diseases will take diabetes. Are they at a greater risk, not so much of catching it, but if they get it, it being a lot worse?
Yes, Alan, that's a really good question. The people with illnesses like diabetes, or they got any blood cancers, or they are on the medication, like just a very commonly used called prednisolone or the metrotrexate for arthritis, they are high risk of having the complication if they catch the COVID, because their immune system is not good enough to fight those infections, even they're vaccinated. So it's very important to consider, talking to your own doctors about your future vaccination in terms of COVID, yeah.
Because there are a huge amount of people that have got diabetes, aren't they? I mean, it's a big disease. Doctor, the other just quick, my granddaughter got it and she's 2 years old. So it's obviously that anybody can get it. I mean, she got it from her mum and dad, and they don't know where they got it. But so it's not a case of just saying, oh, well, it's an older person's disease or something. I mean, she wasn't too bad, but she's two.
And yes.
And she was coughing, and she did have croup. They took her to the children's hospital, but they did a test there, and they said, oh, no, she's also got COVID. So you can catch it at any age is the point I'm trying to make.
Yes, Alan. Unfortunately, this is not a disease. Anyone can catch it. I have seen in my personal practice, as young as 2 months old, patient, 2 months old baby, got this COVID vaccination. So that's really important. Anyone can get this COVID infection.
Yeah, up to 100.
Up to 100, yes.
And if you're 100, if 100 is probably not going to be very well. Doctor, you wanted to say that there is a new vaccination out, a new vax out.
Yeah, so we currently in the process of, it's almost approved by the TGA. We're just waiting for the TAGI approval for the Novavax vaccine, which is quite a few number of patients who don't want this Pfizer or AstraZeneca or Moderna vaccine. So we will have Novavax available in Australia from the 21st March. This is the tentative date from 21st March, and it will be likely to be available through, again, state-run vaccination hubs or general practices or the pharmacy. But please keep an eye and your ears open. So if you want to have your Novavax, you can book that. Now, with Novavax, it's very important to... The important point, is, Alan, is this vaccination is not for the booster. It's for the primary course of vaccination. So Novavax is for primary. So that means those 7% of the people who haven't had their primary COVID vaccination, this is another chance for you to get vaccinated with different vaccines.
You were saying that some people are holding off for it. Why would they hold off for it? What's the difference between the ones we've got now as opposed to this vax?
So, the way or technology they have made is completely different. The AstraZeneca is different, the Pfizer and the Novavax, they're all three different. They're called a vaccine, but the way they made it is completely different. And this is the protein-based vaccine, the Novavax. It's different as compared to mRNA vaccine. And its effectiveness is exactly the same, but some people wanted that, and it's going to be available from 21st of February this year.
Oh, very good. Is it supposed to have any sort of different side effects, or we don't know yet?
Side effects likely to be, very common side effects are the same: pain at the site of injections, body ache, sometimes fever, headache, but not any major other significant side effects.
And they normally, I know with these others, they normally pass off within 24 to 48 hours anyway, don't they?
They're very temporary side effects, correct. They will pass on and can be just treated with simple Panadol or rest.
Doctor, unfortunately, our time is fast coming to an end. I mean, I'm a grandparent myself, as I just said, and I think the worst thing that can happen is that a person spreads it, who's not vaxxed, while they might want to get vaxxed, they pass it on to their parents or worse still, grandparents, because often the grandparents aren't as healthy as the younger ones. Would you like to give us those contacts again, the website and also the phone number, please?
Yeah, so the website is what we call Vaccine Clinic Finder, where you can you put your postcode and it will give you the nearest vaccine centers available. And with the phone numbers, you can book it, as well as there is a central booking number, which is 1-800-675-398. You can call this number. This is coronavirus hotline number for Victoria. And you can call this number to book your vaccine, or if you have any question, you can ask them as well.
Doctor, you've obviously been a doctor for some time. I mean, you're not just out of medical school. Would this be probably one of the biggest challenges that you've had in the time you've been a doctor?
Yes, this is one of the, quite significant illness or the disease or the pandemic I'm coming across. This is, we have significant stress on our health system, as you can imagine, and we... our hospitals are full, our clinics are full, people are finding very difficult to get their appointments even. So it's very challenging situation at this point of time, and that's why we have to act as a community to help each other and protect each other. So this COVID vaccine is for you, yourself, your family, and your community.
Yeah, and I guess that's one of the things. I mean, we hope one day, I mean, pandemics normally at some stage peter out, don't they?
Exactly. So at some stage, this virus will weaken by itself. And we already seeing this virus, Omicron. Yes, it's quite highly transmissible, but people who are vaccinated and don't have significant comorbidities are, you know, even they got a vaccine, they got a mild symptom. So eventually this virus hopefully will weaken by itself or die down by itself, and we will be out of this pandemic. Then that will, it will become endemic.
Very good. Doctor, look, I'm sorry, I've got to go. Thank you very much for the last hour. And we'll look forward to talking to you maybe later in the year. And hopefully by then you can tell us it's nearly all over.
Great. Thank you, Alan. Thank you. It was nice talking to you. And thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Doctor. Bye.